AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. Fred Rogan.
You know the one thing you never do? You never mess with the big dog.
Rodney Pete.
Let me in. Let me do my thing.
This is Rogan and Rodney. This hour of Rogan and Rodney is sponsored by Duffy Power Services, Southern California's generator experts. Go to DuffyPower.com. That's DUTHIE.com. Rogan and Rodney can be streamed and podcasted wherever you are on the iHeartRadio app. Now your hosts.
I'm ready. It's game day, Fred. I'm so ready.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete.
All right, here we go. The Duffy Power Hour. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on the big Friday show on AM 570 LA Sports. Friday, you know, we really don't care, Rodney.
No, we don't. We really don't.
Anything goes on Friday. You have something to say, say it. You want to cleanse yourself, cleanse yourself. You know, listening today is like giving yourself a colonic.
Oh, no.
Yeah, when you're done, you're all cleaned out.
Don't say it.
Okay, well, you know, you vent your spleen.
Ah!
That's right. Get ready.
The old venting of the spleen.
Venting of the spleen. Housekeeping off the top. Next Thursday, where are we going to be, Rodney?
We are going to be at Hollywood Park Casino. Come on down, join us. We're giving a lot of stuff away.
We sure are. 50 people have already registered on the website, so you're good to go. You get Dodger tickets when you get there. Now, you didn't register, but there's good news. We have more Dodger tickets to give away and other prizes to give away. So even if you did not register online, that's closed, you still should come down to the show because we got a ton of stuff to give away. We're going to have a great time. The Hollywood Park shows are usually pretty full, Rodney. So come on down next Thursday, noon to 3. We want you to be a part of it.
Come on down.
All right.
We always have fun when we do our remotes at Hollywood Park Casino, Fred. Lots of people, lots of energy down there. We love going down there. We love seeing you there. So make sure you come on down next week.
Okay. Also, if you've not gone to the website, am570lasports.com, do it /Tommy's. Go and register for this. You get the Tommy's food truck. It's burgers, fries, and drinks for $100 and 10 tickets to a suite at a baseball game. All you have to do is register. It's that simple. Go to am570lasports.com/Tommy's. Get your name in there because that's a pretty cool prize. We're giving that away as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You were at Rob's show. Rob Parker made his comedy debut last night. He'll be on at 1 o'clock to discuss it. What can you tell me? Because I had to work. I couldn't go.
Yeah. It was, you missed a good night. Rob was fantastic. I'll let him tell you. You know, we were all nervous about Rob. First of all, I would say it was a good crowd there. A lot of folks were there showing up. You know, they had a number of comics. I would say, what do you say, Kevin? There's about 8 comics went on. Crack 'em up Thursdays. About 8.
Yeah, about 8.
Yeah. Ronnie was there, too. Ronnie was there last night, so it was a good time. And then a lot of folks from Fox and Fox Sports Radio were there. Scott Shapiro was there. It was a good crowd. Rob, I got there early, saw Rob early, and he was, you know, he was a little nervous to go, you know, to go on. But I think it's like a lot of things. Once you're in it, once you start it, it kind of puts you in the moment. You get past all of those things. The anticipation of going up on stage, I think, is the biggest part and biggest hurdle you got to get over. Probably felt like a week, you know, that 30 minutes before he actually went on to finally get up on their stage. But he did a good job. He really did. He delivered the jokes. He was worried about it. And he asked about whether I keep my notes up on stage or not. And I told him, go ahead, keep your notes up on stage so you can keep the flow going. One of the things that you want to make sure of is when you're up there that you're not stalling out and forget the flow or forget what jokes comes next. And so I said, yeah, take your notes up there so you can kind of keep track of where you are and you can keep the show flowing. And one of my biggest concerns with Rob is he tend to like to laugh at his own jokes.
Did he?
He did it one time or so, a couple, I guess Ronnie and Kevin, maybe they know better. But I only caught it once or maybe twice that he had a little laugh right in the middle of his joke. But for the most part, he delivered. He really did. And I was very impressed with him. There were some folks. Manny from Gardena was there.
Yeah.
To support Rob. And you were part of the the routine, Fred. You made an appearance in the routine. So he saved a little bit for you, Freddie, which was pretty good. Got a big laugh.
Well, that's interesting because I asked Kevin how it went. He didn't point that out this morning.
I was hoping that Rob would actually tell his joke about you to you on the show today.
Okay.
So I wanted to keep that one a little secret.
Yes.
It was one of the best jokes tell you, he had.
It was. It got a nice laugh.
It got a great laugh. And Rob did a fantastic job. And he did laugh at his own jokes a couple of times, Rodney. Yeah, I did catch that as well. But overall, what a great night. All the comedians were good.
I'll say this, that I was really disappointed. Because, if he'd gone out at 8:15, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, I could have gone. But obviously, I was doing the news last night.
Well, we understand, Fred. It wasn't important to you.
I did I did see.
It wasn't a big deal for you.
Yeah, I understand. I get it.
Mario, well, couldn't do a solid, Fred.
Biggest night of Rob's life.
I couldn't go. But I did see a bootleg copy of part of it online.
Uh-oh.
Did you see that?
I did not. Bootleg? Who put out the bootleg copy? Rob?
No. Well, Rob actually sent it to me. It was just a very small portion of it. It's how he started his act. And his first joke, I thought, but it got a laugh. It got a laugh. His opener got a laugh. So, I'm looking forward to talking to him about it when he gets on the air. I'll tell you that. Maybe he'll do something before.
He was excited. I think probably more excited afterwards because it was over. It was completed and he had done it. But you could feel the weight came off of his shoulders, and it could have gone either way, right? It was either crash and burn, and that's the last stand up we'll hear from Rob Parker. But I think he was emboldened last night, and I think he got confidence, Fred, that we're gonna see a lot more Rob Parker and his stand up routine. I think he was given a bolt of confidence last night. Wouldn't you say, Ronnie, Kevin?
Absolutely. You did a great job.
Definitely, considering it was his very first time up there. And if you've been to comedy shows and you've seen people, amateur nights and all of that, you'll see people read things off of their phone or take sheets of paper up there because they will get nervous. I couldn't actually tell that it was Rob's very first time. For him to be his very first time in front of a crowd like that, I was actually impressed.
And the other comics were giving him praise for that as well, saying, is this really your first time? Because it sure doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific. And afterwards, was he outside smoking a cigarette?
He was taking pictures and kissing babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He was holding court.
Yeah.
Was he?
Telling stories. You know Rob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we all know Rob. All right, so Rob will be on at 1. Excited that he did well last night and really excited to get his thoughts on what happened. This happened this morning about 11:25. I don't know a lot about it, Rodney. I mean, we should report it because it happened. And squabbles within families are just ugly. They're nasty. We know what happened with the Bus family, with Jeannie Bus and her brother, who eventually she had to fire. So anytime families are involved, it's always ugly. This report came out this morning. Dean Spanos is now being sued by his sister, accused of misogynistic behavior and breaches of fiduciary duty. Well, she has gone to the well a couple of times here. She's gone to the well a couple of times, and it didn't go, so right. Now she's back. And this time, misogynistic behavior and breach of fiduciary duty. I don't know how this plays out, to be honest with you. It's an internal thing within the Spanos family. I thought at the very least, because it is a story, we should mention it. I don't know a lot about it. And,
yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, and it will play out the way it's going to play out. You would hope somehow, some way that the family members could get together and just work this out, whatever it is, without
getting
but
how that it's gotten to this point, which means to me it feels like they've tried to make that happen. They've tried to work things out, much like it was with the Bus family and just trying to do things behind doors, because this has been a brewing feud for a long time. And so to see it get to this point, I think they've it feels like they've exhausted all other avenues to try to resolve this amicably.
The sister claims that the Spanos family trusts are basically insolvent now, and the decision to move the Chargers to L.A. has proved financially ruinous, and that the family has no option but to sell the team in order to satisfy the trust's debt obligations. She says currently in excess of $358 million. So that's the story. Don't know how it plays out. And it's sad it's got to that point. Dodgers win one yesterday against the White Sox in Chicago. Max Muncy, welcome back. Welcome back. Looked like an entirely new guy. Looked like the old Max Muncy. But there was one moment in that game, Rodney, that people are just scratching their head. Trey Turner's at the plate. The count is 1-2. 1-2. It is at that point with a 1-2 count that White Sox manager Tony La Russa decides we're just going to give Turner a free pass and we're going to pitch to Muncy. And Muncy made him pay. And people wondered after the game, why would you walk somebody with a count 1-2? Why would you just put him on? I mean, one more strike, he's out. Why would you walk him? What's your original thought on that?
Why would you walk him? That's my when it happened. I had the same look on my face as Freddie Freeman did at second base. And he's looking around going, what in the hell is going on here? I've seen it before. You know, you see guys that are really good hitters and are on a roll, like Trey Turner's, best hitter in baseball. Won the batting title last year and is hitting well right now. So if just on paper you say, who do I want to face? And I got a left-handed pitcher on the mound. Do I want to face Trey Turner or do I want to face Max Muncy? Yeah. You say, I'd rather face Max Muncy right now on June 9th, 2022. I'd face Max Muncy every day of the week because Max has been struggling and he just got called up. In that situation also, I've seen where, because of what happened, wild pitch, Freddie Freeman gets to first base, there's an open base for a good hitter, you put him on. But you put him on either before the at-bat starts, or you put him on if you're, way down in the count. Say it's 3-0. You say, okay, we're not even going to risk it. Let's put him on. It's probably going to walk him anyway. Let's put him on and get to Max Muncy. We don't want to give him anything good to hit. But at 1-2, one ball, two strikes in the count, I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that. When you've got a guy 1-2, even with an open base, and even with the lefty-on-lefty matchup coming up, that you put a guy on like that. You basically gave him a free pass. You had him on the ropes. You don't even have to throw a strike if you're the pitcher. The next pitch or two pitches, you don't have to throw a strike to Trey Turner. Make him chase. Do something out of the zone. But at 1-2, to walk a guy, it was just insane. And then it played out the way you loved it to play out. It played out beautifully because Max Muncy, I don't know if there could have been a better guy at the plate that needed that more, that could give it to you more. Because most of the Dodger players, they got that quiet confidence. But Max has shown that he can be outwardly confident as well. And we saw that with Madison Bumgarner in San Francisco, where he said, get it out of the water, get it out of the ocean. So when that happened to Max and he hit the home run, you just felt that something was going to be said or some gesture was going to be made as he rounded third base, and sure enough, he gave that look, and then we all heard what he said after he crossed home plate.
Now, Tony La Russa is 77 years old, and some people say, when he got the job, what are you doing? The game has passed this guy by. Truth of the matter is, I think if you dig a little deeper into this story, he went by the analytic book. Kevin, I'm trying to remember, Trey Turner was hitting like 340 with two strikes against him.
Yeah, the stat for Trey Turner this season, he's a 333, 5 for 15 in 1-2 counts.
Okay, Max Muncy, well,
just overall is batting 150.
All right. So if you're just, if you're going, well, what in the world is this guy doing? He went by the numbers. Live by the numbers, die by the numbers. Remember the manager of Tampa Bay took Blake Snell out of the game in the World Series against the Dodgers. They took a shot at Mookie Betts. He started laughing.
I don't think that's a similar situation. Third time around lineup.
Yeah, but still, they just went by, this is the way it is, and this is how we're going to do it. So Tony La Russa made this move. It backfires on him. Good on the Dodgers, and La Russa talked about it after the game.
You explained the thought process on the intention to walk with
Turner?
Turner. At 1-2.
So let me ask you a question. Is there some question about whether that was a good move or not?
I guess at 1-2 is the question. At the count.
Do you know what he hits against left-hand pitching with 1-0-1 or two strikes? Do you know what he hits? Well, You know what Muncy hits with two strikes with against a left-hand pitcher? I mean, is that really a question? Because it was one and two? Turner with a strike left against a left-hander is not something you can avoid if you can. And we had an open base, and Muncy happened to be the guy behind him, and that's a better matchup. And again, somebody disagrees. That's the beauty of this game. Welcome to it. But that wasn't a tough call.
Okay. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, then why pitch to him in the first place? I mean, that would be my question. Why pitch to him in the first? You got Muncy coming up next, who's struggling, albeit struggling this year in 150. And you got Trey Turner, regardless, even take 1-2 out of it. Take just coming to bat. He's had a really good season. So just that alone, I mean, what is he batting this year? He's around 300, right?
Trey Turner?
Yeah, Turner. 300 hitter, right? So 300, 333, you know, virtually the same thing in the grand scheme of things. Why pitch to him in the first place? If your thought process is Max Muncy is a better matchup against our left-handed pitcher, why even start the at-bat with Trey Turner, let alone get to 1-2? And I think that's what the reporter and baffled everyone. Okay, you're going to go ahead and pitch to him, and you get him to 1-2, and then you walk him? That is, I guess, the big head-scratcher is why would you do that? So were you waiting? So anytime it got to two strikes on Trey Turner, you're ready to walk him.
Well, La Russa said, well, why are you even asking that question? Of course you would walk him. Of course. What, don't you know baseball? Of course you would walk him at that point.
Yes. We do not, we're not going to attempt to strike Trey Turner out.
No.
Because if he gets the two strikes, we got to walk him. Because he hits 333 with two strikes.
Good for the Dodgers. Makes
absolutely no sense.
Good for the Dodgers. But I got to give La Russa credit because the way he explained it, you know, it's like, what, are you an idiot for asking that question?
Yes.
Everybody already knows the answer to this. Didn't work, crazy. But come on, I'd do it again.
On paper, it does. It works. You know? It works. Just ask the Chargers. Fourth down, it works. More often than not, percentages are in your favor to go for it on fourth down.
From your own 18.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. 1-2 count on your own 18-yard line. Doesn't matter.
All right, the Dodgers in San Francisco tonight. Now, LeBron came out yesterday and said one day he would like to be an NBA owner. By the way, you know, everybody has their own opinion about LeBron and the Lakers. I have my opinion. Rodney has his. I'm sure you do as well. You know, that's one thing. But if you look at him as a business guy, give him all the credit in the world because he gets it, and he has built an empire. That's one of the reasons he came to L.A., he wanted to be here so he could grow his business, and he's done it, and he's done it big time. And he said, you know, I'd like to own an NBA team one day. I'd like to own the team in Vegas. And that tells me he really gets it because there is going to be an NBA team in Vegas one day. And I think if there was any market you could put a pro franchise in right now, I would pick Vegas. Hockey, the Golden Knights, you're thinking hockey in Las Vegas? Are you kidding me? Oh, no, they kill it there. They kill it. Greatest thing that ever happened to Mark Davis, greatest thing, was getting him to go to Vegas. He's killing it now. Killing it. Vegas is a fertile market. Vegas is a place you want to be. Anybody would want to own a team in Vegas. Anybody. So why does Vegas work? Why do some other markets not work? For example, St. Louis and the Rams. Rams come to LA. What you need is a huge population base with disposable income and Fortune 500 companies. Because they're going to buy your suites. They've got to entertain clients. All right, St. Louis didn't have many Fortune 500 companies. You have a couple. That's not like LA where you have a ton of them. Vegas has all the casinos. All the casinos. Everybody's buying stuff. If you're a casino, you've got to buy a box. You've got to buy a suite. You've got to buy seats. Why? You've got to take care of your high rollers. It's the entertainment industry. So Vegas makes sense. Look at a market like Detroit. Rodney played there. I was born there. Years ago, it was one of the great cities in America. It's gone through tough times. I don't know if it still supports four professional teams. Look at a market like Phoenix. Rodney spent time in Arizona, grew up there, and I lived there as well. I love Phoenix. Not a lot of Fortune 500 companies. maybe not enough to support all of the franchises that are there. Hockey's a tough sell. If the Suns don't win, it's a tough sell. Baseball, they rarely sell out. But a market like Vegas will work. And Rodney, I think it's brilliant. If he wants to be an owner, that's where he wants to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that he wants to be an owner. I think he's said that in multiple occasions. I think that there's a lot of guys out there that that want to move to that realm and that position of ownership. You know, we only see really the one guy, Michael Jordan, who owns a team as a former player. But yeah, and Vegas is that market. The hockey and the NFL have shown the other sports the way. You know, they've laid the groundwork of it, of how Vegas can work. And I think that now, I think people knew that Vegas could work. Everybody was nervous about the gambling aspect of Vegas. But now that everybody's kind of, you know, come around to saying that gambling is a part of our culture and that we can accept it instead of trying to make it taboo and act like it doesn't exist, they've embraced it. And now that the leagues have embraced it, Vegas is okay now. Because you go back 10 years, you go talk about teams going to Vegas, it's like, oh no, it's taboo, this never happened because of gambling will never enter our sport. And now look where we are. There's partnerships all over the place with different gambling outlets and casinos and online, offline betting, all those type of things. So it's not, you know, not a shocker that Vegas has come around to where it is. And for LeBron, yes, Vegas, he is absolutely laying that groundwork for when that time comes that he will be in the conversation. Because when that time does come, I'm sure he will be right on the verge of retirement and them deciding if there's going to be a team in Vegas, when there's going to be a team. I happen to know before, in fact, there's some people developing a convention center and arena down off the strip, near the strip. So there are plans already in place to build new facility that can hold a basketball franchise in Las Vegas.
And they also have T-Mobile already built.
Yes.
AEG built that. That's where the Golden Knights play.
Correct. But this will be a new facility that would be bigger and better and deffer, as they say, the young kids say.
A little inside info right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So they're getting ready.
Yeah, they are.
You know, what you're going to see happen here is if you own a team, and Guggenheim paid $2 billion for the Dodgers, and Steve Ballmer paid $2 billion for the Clippers. By the way, when both of those sales were made, a majority of people thought that's insanity. Why would you spend so much? The Broncos just went for $4.5 billion. These franchises only appreciate. And you want to be in growth markets, right? Vegas is a growth market. We've talked about this in the past. A market like Nashville, that's a growth market. And it's going to continue to grow. People are moving to these locations. You want to put teams in those markets. And some of the markets that have been around for forever, a Detroit, a Cleveland, they've lost population. And they've lost Fortune 500 companies. So they're not as appealing anymore. Growth markets is where you want to be. So if you didn't have a team in LA, where you really want to own a team, New York, no matter how bad they may be, although the Rangers are playing well, but the Knicks are horrible. Yankees are good. Mets are better. Mm-hmm. You want to be in New York. You want to be in L.A. You actually want to be in Chicago as well. That's a market you want to be in. But if you get rid of those top three markets, I would say you want to go to a growth market like a Vegas, because there's money to be made there if you own a team.
And especially, look, it's missing, obviously, it's got hockey, it's got football, and it's, you know, baseball and basketball missing. Obviously, basketball, because it's a winter sport, and Vegas is a destination for people in wintertime. Baseball, and if you would obviously have to build a dome stadium, and some of the issues that you have in Arizona with baseball, I think you would still have in Vegas with baseball.
Too hot.
So it might be a tough sell for baseball, but for basketball in Vegas, it would absolutely kill. Everything's already there anyway. I mean, summer league's there, training's there. A lot of folks go there to do camps and all that kind of stuff. It is perfectly set up and ready for NBA to come to town.
Hey, Kenneth Neno, congratulations. Kenneth of LA, last week won a $100 gift card to Tommy's, and today you can do the same. Keep listening to our show today for your chance to win. And regardless, if you win, you should stop in to your local original Tommy's today and grab one of their world-famous burgers topped with their special recipe all-beef chili. Visit OriginalTommy's.com to find a location near you. When we come back, we'll get more into the Tony La Russa decision last night to walk Trey Turner. Later in the hour, we'll play Little Know Your Squad.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Friday. Yeah, Freddie. It's Friday. You know what?
We don't care.
No, we don't. Friday, Rodney Pete. Fred Rogan. Let's go.
All right, let's bring on David Vasse. He's crossed the country. He's in the Bay. And Dave, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon to you guys. It's a beautiful day up here in San Francisco, 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. So it should be a great setting for the game tonight. And the weather should be great for all three games against the Dodgers, for the Dodgers and Giants.
All right, let's go back to last night. Everybody talked about it afterwards. Tony La Russa's decision to walk Trey Turner. What did you think?
Yeah, even the Dodger players were shocked. Trey Turner was shocked. And I saw everybody was watching Tony's post-game press conference in the Dodger clubhouse, and I think they had the same reaction as we all did. It was a little uncomfortable to see him challenge the reporters, and quite frankly, guys, and try to intimidate the Chicago reporters for asking a question that we all had. And he had his reasoning, but still, it didn't seem like it was something that you would do.
Yeah, Dave, in today's game, you hear about it a lot, especially, you know, with older managers who are not receptive to the analytics, and it usually causes some friction nowadays. And then you see Tony La Russa, like you said, trying to bully a reporter, trying to break down, well, this was analytically the right thing to do. And granted, may, because you look at the stat and say, oh, he's in 333 with two strikes. But if you're going to walk him before the at-bat, not at in the middle or at 1-2, it was a head scratcher, but I believe that. And then you see, do you think the opposite kind of happened with Joe Maddon and him not being receptive to analytics? It's almost damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, they're two separate situations. I will say this, the only similarities, Rodney, are that they both did unconventional things that didn't work out. You think back to Joe Maddon walking Corey Seager with the bases loaded in Texas. That was kind of ridiculous. And then a lot of other things that Joe Maddon did that he would say was out of the box, but a lot of other people on baseball thought were just ludicrous, similar to what Tony La Russa did yesterday. And by the way, Tony La Russa was doing analytics before analytics was in vogue in Oakland. Him and Dave Duncan were at the forefront of all that and would do their own math. So he has been very analytic heavy his entire managing career. But that was to the extreme. And certainly when you have a hitter down with two strikes and a free swinger like Trey Turner, there's no reason to do that because, number one, the way it was told to me by some baseball people yesterday, you're hurting the confidence of the pitcher. You got him down 1-2, and now all of a sudden you're going to pull the plug on me. And if it doesn't work, that's even more of a gut punch to the pitcher and to the team. And that's exactly what happened. And I just thought that Tony obviously felt strongly about why he did it, but there's no reason to try to intimidate reporters asking a question that America wanted answered.
Okay, well, Trey Turner's free pass is Max Muncy's salvation. How big was that for Muncy last night, and how did he feel afterwards?
Well, rewinding back to his first at-bat when he came up with the Dodgers down a run in the fifth inning, his second at-bat when he came up in the fifth inning with the Dodgers down a run after Freddie Freeman drove in a couple, that was big for him to drive in the go-ahead runs with the two-run double because all season he hasn't delivered in that situation. And then to come up after Trey Turner was walked intentionally and hit that three-run home run opposite field, I mean, come on. We haven't seen that Muncy since 2021. So that was big for the Dodgers. It was big for Max Muncy. And let's see him keep it rolling here in San Francisco because, as he knows, you're only as good as your last game, and I'm sure he has he feels more confident now, but certainly understands he's got to do it again today.
Yeah, there's no guarantee from, you know, that big moment yesterday that it's going to continue. But also, Dave, doesn't it go to show you there's no exact science as to why someone is struggling or what's going to bring them back? It could be something as simple as that. Him taking some time off, going to AAA, having success there, hit the walk-off there. So it kind of triggered his mind and, hey, this is who I am. And he comes back and does it back with the Dodgers big league club. It's little things like that that if you tried to write it up, oh, this is a formula, nobody would have came up with that scenario, yet it worked, and it could be the very thing that gets him going.
Yeah, Rodney, it kind of is very simple to say that his left elbow was bothering him. He was able to go down to Oklahoma City and be able to let the inflammation calm down. And it goes back to the last road trip for the Dodgers where Dave Roberts told him, don't pick up a bat for 4 days. That probably helped as well. So all of these things help Muncy. It's a combination of having that elbow get some rest, because a lot of us believe that maybe even there was a consideration not to have Muncy start the season on the opening day roster because of the left elbow injury and what we saw in spring training. A shortened spring training, and don't forget, during the lockout, no eyes from the Dodgers training staff on him to try to help him get through the rehab of that left elbow. So all those things, you know, maybe he was rushed a little bit or rushed himself a little bit to start the year, and these last 2 weeks certainly gave his left elbow some time to heal a little bit more and get his confidence back in Oklahoma City. And Dave Roberts said before yesterday's game, the left elbow is no longer a consideration for anything that holds Muncy back.
Yeah, but is it the kind of thing, Dave, where given that it appears the rest helped, maybe, you know, you rest him a little bit here and there now, and you don't play him all the time just so it doesn't flare up again?
Well, yeah, I think the rest helped, but I think there was a reason why the Dodgers sent a hitting coach down with him in Oklahoma City, too. It wasn't just to massage his left elbow. It was to have him get back to some adjustments he needed to make.
Okay, big series, Dave, San Francisco. Still feeling a little eerie about pitching and Julio and Walker Buehler, but also the bullpen a little bit was a little shaky. How are you and how are the team feeling about that?
Rodney, first and foremost, this series is about two pitchers. It's about Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw. And it's not about Walker Buehler or Clayton Kershaw versus the Giants. It's about them. And Walker Buehler now has had back-to-back clunkers, especially the last one. And he put in a lot of work with a lot of people watching in his last bullpen session in Chicago, getting ready for this start. I'm not sure if it's – even Dave Roberts told us yesterday – he's not sure it's all going to be fixed for this start. But that's the biggest thing for the Dodgers, to see Walker Buehler look a little bit more like himself and Clayton Kershaw to come out and show that he's healthy and effective. So for me, this Giants series is about those two guys. And frankly, the Dodgers need wins. Going into the second game of that White Sox series, they had lost six of their last eight. So they need wins too.
Yeah, even losing six of their last eight, they're still two games up on the Padres. Giants are 6.5 back. The Giants, 4 games over .500. I'll tell you, just looking at the West, Dave, it's tough. It's tough. The Dodgers need to keep winning to maintain their lead. And even though the Giants are in third place, they're still alive.
Yeah, you're right. Especially with the third wild card, there's a lot of incentive for all these teams, at least the top three teams, to keep playing. The Giants, I was looking more into why they're 6.5 games back. It's because they don't play really good defense. They induce a lot of weak contact, but their infielders are not doing a great job defensively. So we'll see whether or not that rears its ugly head in these three games. But for me, Fred, it's about the Dodgers and Padres at this point. But the Giants are always, they're always lurking. I'll put it that way.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks for lurking with us today. We appreciate it.
Well, you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Okay, there he goes. Obviously at lunch. David Vasek. wanting to jump off the phone and start eating.
He's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
A lot of great restaurants up there, Freddie.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, who's ready for a little Know Your Squad?
Come on!
866-987-2570. Today, the squad is the Lakers. That's right. Squad is the Lakers, so if you know your Lakers, you got some Laker knowledge.
No excuses.
Jump on here with Rodney and Ronnie, and that's next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
First off, mind your business. Bad, bad, every day like Christmas. Attitude, don't you pay me.
Today's Afternoon Delight is Mind Your Business by Lukia. The Milwaukee native recruited fellow XXL freshman Lotto as a featured artist on this track, which dropped late last week. This track follows release of her 2021 mixtape entitled In Due Time and could potentially be a single off her upcoming untitled debut album. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Mind Your Business by Lakia featuring Lotto. And don't forget, Afternoon Delight is brought to you by Tommy's. Stop into your local original Tommy's today and grab one of their world-famous burgers topped with their special recipe, all beef chili. Visit originaltommies.com to find a location near you.
And remember, go to the website, am570lasports.com/Tommy's. Got to put that slash Tommy's in there. Here's why.
Yeah.
You can win the Tommy's food truck. 100 burgers, fries, and drinks. Got a lot of friends. They're going to throw a party.
Come on.
10 tickets to a baseball suite. If you've not registered, what are you waiting for? am570lasports.com/Tommy's.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
First stop on the Petros and Money Chevy Summer Tour is today at 3. Join us for a live broadcast, pool party, and barbecue at the Elks Lodge in San Pedro. And watch the stream on YouTube and Facebook, presented by Chevrolet. Find new roads. All right, Philip in Simi Valley, are you ready?
I am ready to go, Fred.
Very good. It's Know Your Lakers. Got to let me give you all 5 choices. Answer before you get all 5. You're locked out of that question. You also get a challenge. If you use your challenge and you're successful, you keep the challenge. If you use your challenge and you're unsuccessful, you're locked out of the next question. You got it?
Got it, Fred.
Okay.
Whoa.
Where are you going? Right. Where are you going?
What's that?
Where are you going, Philip? Just got in the car. Where are you going?
We're going to Costco.
Oh, you are?
We're going to Costco.
Okay.
And yes, sir.
Are you settled in the car now?
Yes, sir. I'm ready to go. I'm going to take you down, Rodney.
Okay, come on.
I'm going to try.
Come on.
I'm going to try.
All right. Ronnie, you ready?
Good afternoon, Rogan and Rodney. I'm ready and feeling good. Let's go.
Here we go. What was the original name of the Lakers franchise when it was created in 1946? Minnesota Great Lakes, Minnesota Warriors, Minnesota Minions, Detroit Gems, or Detroit Autos?
Minnesota Great Lakes.
How about new?
Auto.
Great Autos.
Great Autos.
No good.
Great Lakes.
No, senor.
Minions.
No good.
Grand Theft Autos.
How about new?
Big Lakes. Next I forgot question. The last one. Which one was it?
There are 2 you haven't given.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a hint coming anytime soon, Fred?
Lakes.
And it is no good.
Thousand Lakes.
No.
No, senor!
The original name.
Autos.
No good!
The original name had nothing to do with Minnesota.
Auto workers.
No, senor!
Minneapolis Great Lakes.
And it is no good.
And
steel.
No, it's a...
How about new?
And it has to do with something that could be considered a piece of jewelry.
The gems.
What'd you say,
Philip? Gems.
What'd Philip say?
Philip. Gems. Minnesota, the gems.
Yeah, you got it right. It's the gems. Detroit gems.
Thank you.
Yep, you got it, Philip. There you go. On the way to Costco. On the board. Which player?
I'm hungry.
All right, which player did the Lakers trade away to acquire the first overall pick in the 79 draft, which ultimately became Magic Johnson? Spencer Haywood, Don Ford, Gale Goodrich, Butch Lee, or Butch Cassidy?
Gale
Butch
Goodrich. Butch
Lee. Don Ford.
It is Ronnie with Gale Goodrich. So I'm trying to remember, is that how Goodrich was traded to the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, it was kind of like two connected deals. So he wasn't traded directly. I think Utah was involved in the deal. So, like, he was traded, and his rights were double traded again, and the Lakers were able to acquire a pick. So it wasn't a linear one-for-one. But essentially, the player they gave away to get that pick was Gale Goodrich.
And Gale Goodrich went on to play very well for the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was good. All right, Robert Horry leads all former Laker players with seven NBA titles. Which Laker player has won the second most NBA titles in their career? Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, John Sally, or Sally Rides?
John Sally.
John Sally. No,
Magic Johnson.
How about
Kobe Bryant?
John Sally.
Who'd you say,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Rodney had it first. Kareem. Okay. So we're at the midway point. Everybody's got one. Here we go. Which of these former Laker players played professionally in Greece before joining the team? Kurt Rambis, Matt Barnes, Jose Calderon, Mo Evans, or Mo Green?
Jose Calderon. Calderon.
How about
Mo
you?
Evans?
Philip, Kurt Rambis is correct.
Oh.
Philip, good pull. Good pull.
I'm Greek.
Oh, you're Greek. Well, there you go.
Imi Philippos. That's my Greek name.
All right. Which of these players made an NBA All-Star team as both a Laker and a Clipper in their career?
Oh, yeah.
Norm Nixon, Lamar Odom, Jamal Wilkes, Antoine Jamison, or Jenna Jameson?
Lamar Odom.
Jamal Wilkes.
Jamal Wilkes.
Antoine Jamison.
No good!
Jamal Wilkes.
No good!
Whoa, Fred?
No.
Hmm?
He was wrong. There's only two you haven't used.
You said them all. Matt Barnes.
He's not even.
No, senor!
All right. Here are the two you didn't use.
Yes.
A porn star or a man with the same last name as a former president?
I actually went back and checked the tape, and Rodney did say it. He just got drowned out. It was Norm Nixon.
Oh, you did say it?
Okay. Well, I looked right at you and said Norm Nixon.
I thought I heard Rodney say it, but I wasn't sure. So I wanted to check the tape before I jumped in. So.
I heard him say it.
Yeah, so Rodney did say Norm.
You heard him say it? Come on. Rodney?
I did hear him say Norm Nixon. Mm-hmm.
Well,
what are you doing, Fred?
Well, I'm sorry. There's like three people yelling all at once.
Fred, that hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper. Oh.
And I'm trying to give Philip a fair shot here. Oftentimes, I think our...
Philip don't want the charity. He wants to win fair and square.
No, I know he does, but, you know, sometimes those guys are a little low because they're on the phone. So I'm really listening for Philip. And if somebody else catches my attention with the right answer, I usually give it to him.
Maybe Phil's looking for a parking spot at Costco.
Ooh, Ronnie. Ronnie.
Hey, Rob inspired me last night.
I hope not like that. All right, so here's the deal. Final question. Rodney's got two. Phillip's got two. Ronnie's got one. Anybody's game? Kobe Bryant scored 81 against the Raptors in January of 2006. Who was the Lakers' second leading scorer in that game? Chris Mim, Brian Cook, Smush Parker, Devin George, or Boy George?
Brian Cook.
Devin George.
How about new?
Smush Parker.
Chris Mims.
Ronnie.
Smush, y'all.
Smush Parker, 13 points in that game. And that means today we ended a three-way tie. There is no loser today.
Never lost.
No.
Everybody gets a participation trophy.
Take that participation trophy.
Wait. Who's yelling in the background?
My driver, the Costco girl.
The Costco girl?
I want Dodger tickets.
My wife said Dodger tickets.
Only for bring us back a chicken wrap.
All right, now look.
I will.
All right, now.
Or a slice of pizza.
Okay, here's the deal.
Give me some gas.
If you want Dodger tickets, why don't you show up at the show at Hollywood Park next Thursday, 12 to 3. We're giving them away.
Is it guaranteed?
Okay. How many guarantees are there in life, really?
I know. Okay, you're right.
But if you show up, you've got a chance.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
All right, so are you going to come or no?
Oh, next Thursday, 12 to 3. So yep. I got to be there by what time? 11?
11:15, 11:30.
Okay. Just try to come. Try to come if you can. Don't let Fred put you on the spot.
We'll be giving away tickets throughout the entire broadcast, by the way. So if you can't make it at 12, don't think like, well, I can't win. If you show up at 1, show up at 1. It's fine. Come when you can.
All right.
All right.
Put me on the list.
Okay. Well, you guys have a good weekend, and maybe we'll see you next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
Mama wanted those tickets.
Mama did.
Mama wanted them. All right. He made his debut last night at the Comedy Store. He got very good reviews. That might be surprising to some, and others would expect it. Rob Parker will be here next, and hopefully he'll do some of the material from last night for us.